and allow the Word of God to speak to your heart. And you said, you know what? I got to get in the Word of God. I need the Word of God to meet my need, and I'm going to meditate on the truth of the Word of God. What a verse! I thought about just changing my message this morning and preaching on that one verse, but I won't do that. John chapter 10. We're in this gospel, and we've been here for quite some time. And our series is entitled, He Must Increase. We're looking at the Lord Jesus and His investment in so many individuals. And we know that the Lord Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. But He didn't come just to seek and to save the lost. Jesus came to satisfy, to meet the deep needs in every human being. And in John chapter number 10, obviously John 10 follows John 9, and sometimes we have a gap between two chapters. In this case, there's no gap. In this case, we see a man that was born blind in chapter 9. Jesus heals him, and to make a long story short, he's kicked out of the synagogue. And then the Bible says that Jesus found him. What a great Savior. Jesus found him, and not only met his physical need of blindness, but he met his spiritual need. He met the deep needs of his heart. And now what he's going to do in John chapter 10 is he's going to communicate a wonderful truth, a truth that is a help and encouragement to all of us, that he is the good shepherd. And he does this as he, the good shepherd, receives this blind man, if you would, into the fold and exposes the error of the scribes and the Pharisees. The religious leaders wanted to kill Jesus. They wanted to do what they could to not get others to follow him. I want to begin reading in verse number 1. We'll read through verse number 5. The Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," Jesus speaking, those two words, "verily, verily," "truly, truly," means this. Hey, I need you to listen up because I have something important to say. So Jesus would use this term right before he was about to say something that he wanted them to get, something that he felt was very important. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Verse 5. "And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." Obviously, in first century in Judea, those who would shepherd the sheep, shepherd sheep, would often build a sheepfold, often adjacent to their house. Often it was built with rocks. And often the shepherd, or the one that would be caring for the sheep, would have a door right there, and they'd lay across the door. And they would lay there in order, and we'll see this in just a minute, in order to keep others from coming in order to keep those from coming in that would hurt or harm the sheep. And Jesus is using this to expose the error of the teaching of the scribes and the Pharisees. And he's likening them to those that would climb up another way, to those that would seek to present something that isn't true. And we have a wonderful John chapter, the Gospel of John includes some wonderful I am statements that Jesus makes. And we've seen some of these already. I am the bread of life, remember? And Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And in John chapter, in this chapter, John 10, and verse number 9, I want you to see what Jesus says about himself as he exposes the error in these scribes and Pharisees. Verse 9. "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Slide down to verse 11. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." I want this morning to preach a very simple message entitled, "The Good Shepherd." And I want us to see very clearly what Jesus says about himself in seeking to teach the multitudes that he is the way, the truth, and the life. That he is the one that not only brings salvation, but one that brings satisfaction. Let's bow and ask the Lord to help us as we look at his word here this morning. Lord, we love you today. Thank you for the music that speaks to our hearts, prepares us, Lord, for the preaching of the word of God. Lord, I recognize that if any work's to be done here this morning, that you must do it. So, Lord, I yield myself to you And I ask, Lord, that you would use me as your servant. I ask you'd fill me with your Spirit. And I ask, Lord, that you'd meet the needs of each one here today. And Lord, we'll give you the honor and the glory and the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I find in this passage six characteristics of the Good Shepherd. And what I want to do this morning is I just want to give them to you. And I trust that God will use these in our lives to encourage us in Him and in who He is. Follow along. I want to read a few more verses in this section. I want to begin reading in verse 7, and I might read to the end of verse number 18. So follow along, and then I want you to see some characteristics of the Good Shepherd here this morning. The Bible says in verse 7, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." By the way, let me say this. Our adversary, the devil, wants to do everything he can to destroy and to hurt and to deceive every one of us. We need to be on guard, and we need to recognize that we have an adversary. His name is the devil. "The thief cometh but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." By the way, verse number 16 really refers a little bit more to the Gentiles, and we're going to take and be a little broad this morning as we look at the Good Shepherd. Obviously, as we look at some of this, we have to recognize that some of this is pertaining to right where they're at, as Jesus deals with the Jews and the gospel being to the Jews. But we see in verse 16 a broader, hey, we have more sheep that are coming into the fold. And boy, I'm so encouraged with that. Verse 17, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down on myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Number one, I want you to see this as we look at our text this morning concerning the Good Shepherd. I want you to see number one, and this is the obvious for most of us. The Good Shepherd saves. Look at verse 9. Jesus said, "I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." The sheepfold, as I said earlier, was an enclosure. It was protected on all sides. The shepherd would guard the door. Jesus says, hey, I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the one, if you're going to go in or out, you have to go by me. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he'll not see the kingdom of God. And this is important for us to recognize as we seek to help other people. As we seek to really meet the needs of other people, we need to help them to see that Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is the life. As the door, Jesus delivers sinners from bondage and leads them to freedom. The word "saved" there means delivered safe and sound. I read a story about a boy and his father. They were driving down a country road on a beautiful spring afternoon when a bumblebee flew into the air into the car window. The little boy, who was allergic to bee stings, was petrified. The father quickly reached out and grabbed the bee and squeezed it in his hand and then released it. The boy grew frantic as the bee buzzed around him. Once again, the father reached out his hand, but this time he pointed to his palm. There, stuck in his hand, was the stinger of the bee. And he said to his son, "Do you see this? You don't need to be afraid anymore. I've taken the sting for you." When I read that, I thought of what God has done for us, the Good Shepherd, in hanging on Calvary's cross, and bearing in His body the sins of the whole world. And He, being made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. As I alluded to earlier, the thief here could be a reference to the devil. The roaring lion, where the Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 4, the god of this world blinds the minds of them which believe not. Satan is a master deceiver. He blinds people concerning the truth of who Jesus is. We see that throughout this whole gospel. But he also will do what he can to blind Christians concerning the ability of Jesus to satisfy. The ability of Jesus to meet the deep needs in every heart. Why do we have so much admonition in the Word of God to churches where the Apostle Paul will say, be not conformed, or stop being conformed to this world? This world doesn't have anything to satisfy. He says what? But be transformed. Hey, prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Good Shepherd saves. I want you to see number two, the Good Shepherd secures. Look at chapter 10 again and verse number 10. The Bible says this, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Ah, I am come that they might have life. Slide over to chapter, we're in the same chapter, slide over to verses 27 through 30. I want you to see this. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You see, we've got security. They go in and out and find pasture. We've got that aspect of free access to God's blessing and God's protection. Now, we might talk about this more next week, depending on how the Lord would lead. We're actually focusing on verses 1 through 18 here this morning. But I'll tell you this, 27, 28, 29, and 30 are great verses for the security of the believer. You see, if I'm saved by grace through faith, and I am, that's what the Word of God says, I am kept saved by His power. I don't have to work my way to salvation, nor do I need to work my way to stay saved. Once a person is a child of God, they're secure forever. These verbs in the latter part, the verses we read, 27 to 30, are present tense. My sheep hear my voice, and I keep on knowing them. And you have that aspect, and I keep on giving to them eternal life. What a tremendous encouragement that we're secure in Him. Nothing can separate us from God's love. I mentioned this a few weeks ago. Do you know, we're in some challenging days here. I've heard so many people say this. I've never seen anything like this in all my years. And to some, there weren't too many years, but others, there were a lot of years. It's challenging days, but you know what? You and I, because of Jesus Christ, are secure. Things might get bad. Things might get challenging. The church might face persecution, but I'll tell you this, nobody can take your salvation from you. Nothing can separate God's love from you. And we think about this. This world's not our home. We're just passing through. Our treasures, they ought to be laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Someday we'll be in heaven with Him for all eternity. And nobody can take that away from us. No challenge we face can take that from us. We're His children. We are secure in Him. Somebody said this, I have full coverage. I have an insurance policy written in the blood of the Lamb, sealed by the cross of Jesus, redeemable wherever I am. The company will never go bankrupt. It's bonded by God's promise true. It will keep every word of its contract, exactly what it says it will do. No collector will ever come calling. It was paid on Calvary's tree. It insures for me living and dying and for all eternity. The Good Shepherd secures. Now, we need to remember this, though, while we live in a day and age of uncertainty. We also need to recognize that while the Good Shepherd secures us and we don't have to worry about our eternal salvation in heaven, the adversary, the devil, still seeks as a roaring lion to do what he can to hinder the work of God. The Bible says in Matthew 7 and verse 15, Jesus warned, he said, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves." He admonished the church of Ephesus there in Acts chapter number 20. He said, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." In 2 Peter 2, there were false prophets among the people. And the truth of the Word of God saves. But I tell you this, the truth of the Word of God exposes error. That's why I was so stirred with Psalm 119. Basically, I can't sleep at night because I'm meditating on the truth of the Word of God. The truth is what sets free. The truth saves. The truth secures. There's great security in Jesus. Number three, as we look at the Good Shepherd, look at verse 10 again. The Bible says this, "The thief cometh not for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life." Look at that last phrase. "And that they might have it more abundantly." They might have it more abundantly. The abundant life speaks of something that goes far beyond what is necessary. It exceeds expectation. It has the sense of superior, extraordinary, extreme, overabundant. It presents a quality of life which surpasses anything the world can offer. It is ultimate fulfillment, ultimate peace, ultimate happiness, which is only found in Jesus Christ. Don't let anybody tell you that God is not for you. Don't let anybody tell you that, hey, if I serve God, it's going to cramp my style. I'm going to have a little lesser quality of life. No, Jesus said, "I am come that you might have life," and he wants every one of us to have life more abundantly, that which would exceed all of our expectations, and it's found in Jesus. Psalm 23, what a great psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." You see, I can find in him true satisfaction. I can find in him true fulfillment in life. The Bible tells us in Psalm 37, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll do what? He'll give you the desires of your heart." Do you know God knows what will meet the deepest needs in your life? You ever think, I need this, and you get this, and you think, I didn't need this. It's that second donut. The first donut was okay, but you say, well, I need the second donut. And you eat the second donut, cream oozing out all over, and you eat that second donut, and you think, I didn't need this donut. And for some people, it's the third or the fourth donut. Those usually are those glazed kind, you know, Krispy Kreme. My daughter brought home some Krispy Kreme the other day. And I haven't had Krispy Kreme, and I didn't even know there was a Krispy Kreme in the area. I guess it's down there at one of the hospitals she works at, and she brought home these. They're just some small little glazed Krispy Kreme. I just had one and a half. At first, I looked and thought, man, I could eat this whole box myself. But you see, it's that third or fourth, right? And sometimes we look at life and we think, this is going to satisfy. This is going to meet the need in my life. This is going to bring me fulfillment. Only Jesus satisfies the longing soul. And he wants to give us not just life, but life, not just abundant life, but he wants to give us life that's more abundant. What a great, good, wonderful shepherd. Psalm 145:16, "Thou openest thine hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing." Years ago, J.C. McCauley, I think he was a preacher, told of visiting the Biltmore House near Asheville, North Carolina. He was accompanying a group of college students who were preparing for Christian service on the mission field. They were impressed as they viewed the fabulous treasures on display and all of the beautiful surroundings. As they returned to their summer conference grounds, however, they began singing with joy in their hearts. "When you look at others with their lands and goals, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your blessings, money cannot buy your reward in heaven, nor your home on high." Macaulay thought to himself as he was listening, how much richer are these young people who are investing their lives in the Lord's service? How much richer are they than the owners of all of this wealth? The Good Shepherd satisfies. number four, I want you to see, look at verse number 11, and we see a statement he makes in about five times in this chapter. John 10 and verse 11, he says this, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Look at verse 15, "As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Verse 17, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again." Verse 18, "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself." Number four, the good shepherd sacrifices. By the way, Jesus wasn't a martyr. He laid down his life. He gave his life. He willingly allowed them to take him and place him on a cross. He sacrifices. I'm amazed as I study religions. I'm amazed at how many religions are about you, or me, who are humans, I should say, working their way to try to please and sacrifice for the master in order to get in good favor to possibly make it into heaven. You know, devil worshippers will begin to do sacrificing, and they'll sacrifice maybe a rat, maybe a cat, maybe a goat. But you know what the ultimate sacrifice is? It's like somebody that would strap bombs around themselves and think that if they blow themselves up, they're going to make it to heaven and have all these virgins waiting on them. Jesus said, "I, as the leader, am going to die." He paid the ultimate sacrifice for us. And he continues to do so. The Bible tells us in Mark 10 and verse 45, "The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Two more. I want you to see this. The good shepherd serves. Look at verse 14. "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine." Slide to verse 3. "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name." Verse 15, "As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and lay down my life for the sheep." The aspect of him knowing us. The aspect of him, the word "know" there is a word that speaks more of just an awareness. It is a word that speaks of an intimate relationship that God has with his people, to where he knows the deepest hurting and longing of every heart. We come here this morning, and everybody looks good. You all look great. You all look like you're ready to run a marathon. Nobody looks like they have a headache, or they don't feel good, or they're even sleepy, okay? Really, I mean, right now, everybody's eyes are awake, and if they're not, they're opening up real quick, right? The appearance is what? Everybody's got it together. You sometimes people come to church, and people have said to me, "Oh man, everybody in your church, they just got it all together, and I have problems, and I don't fit in there." And I said, whoa, time out, just a minute, time out. That's not the case. Do you know, whatever you're struggling with here this morning, whatever you woke up, and that burden on your heart, as you drive home this afternoon and you think concerning whatever it might be that weighs you down, as the body yells, "Help!" with aches and pains, you know God knows each and every burden we bear. The shepherds would bring their sheep in. I'm told that shepherds are very defenseless. They stray a lot. They're very, very dirty animals. They require constant oversight, leading, rescue, and cleaning, or they will die. The right kind of shepherd knew this. The right kind of shepherd would give names to the sheep and would seek to meet the needs in each one. It's amazing to me the relationship sometimes that shepherds have with sheep. One commentator said this, "The relationship which rapidly develops between a shepherd and the sheep under his care is to a definite degree dependent upon the use of the shepherd's voice. Sheep quickly become accustomed to their owner's particular voice. They are acquainted with its unique tone. They know its peculiar sounds and inflections. they can distinguish it from that of another person. I read of riots that happened years ago in Palestine in the middle 30s. A village was condemned to collective punishment by having its sheep and cattle taken by the government. The inhabitants, however, were permitted to redeem their possessions at a fixed price. Among them was an orphan shepherd boy whose 6 or 8 sheep and goats were all he had in the world for life and for his work. Somehow he obtained the money for their redemption, and he went to the big enclosure where the animals were penned. He offered his money to the British sergeant in charge, and they told him, "You're welcome to go get your animals." But he ridiculed the idea that he could possibly pick out his little flock from among the confiscated hundreds. The little shepherd thought differently. He knew better. He gave his own call, and with him his own separated from the rest of the animals and trotted after him. What a great story that illustrates our shepherd. The good shepherd who knows us as his sheep. And he serves us. He knows us by name. It's interesting. Remember when Jesus was walking and there was that fella up in the tree? Remember that fella's name? That little short guy up in the tree? Jesus didn't say, "Hey, you buddy. Hey, what's that dude's name up there?" And Jesus didn't say, hey, tell me your name. Jesus called him by name Zacchaeus. Jesus knows us by name. He knows the deep needs of our heart. In Psalm 103, verse 13, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust." In Matthew 6, he said, "The Father knoweth the things we have need of before we even ask." He ever lives to intercede for us. Why does Jesus, at the right hand of the Father, intercede for us? Because he knows our needs, and he knows we need him. The good shepherd serves. He seeks to meet needs. What are your needs today? You find yourself dealing with hurt or pain, disappointment, frustration, fear, anxiety. Jesus can meet the good shepherd. Jesus can meet the need. He cares. Number 6, and we'll be finished. Go to verse 16. I want you to see number 6. The good shepherd seeks. "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." What is he looking to do? Looking to do what? To bring others into the fold. We know in Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, which obviously is after this book, we know that the gospel initially went to the Jews. We know in the book of Ephesians, we see the gospel actually going to the Gentiles. And to the uttermost part of the whole world. The Bible says in Luke 19 and verse 10, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." The good shepherd still seeks people today. I read a story. I'll read you two things and we'll be finished. I read a story about a young Filipino who was traveling in Chicago. He registered at a hotel there, Hotel Sherman, and took a walk, and while he took his walk, he became lost. He was ignorant of the name, the location, and appearance of the hotel, and so was unable to find it again. Consequently, he selected another room in a different hotel close by. Unwilling to acknowledge to the authorities that he was lost, he tried for 5 days to find the place where he had deposited his baggage. Unsuccessful, he finally appealed to the authorities. The police soon found his original registration place and informed him that for 5 days he had been living next door to the place where he had left his baggage. He lost 5 days of peace of mind because he refused to do what? To admit his need. And I'm convinced that many of us lose days of peace and joy an abundant life because we refuse to admit the needs that we have in our own lives and to go to the Good Shepherd. In Psalm 23, a book written by Keller, A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23, a tremendous little book. It's a great read. He writes this: He is the Good Shepherd. He is the sheepman to whom no trouble is too great as he cares for his flock. He is the rancher who is outstanding because of his fondness for sheep, who loves them for their own sake as well as his personal pleasure in them. He will, if necessary, be on the job 24 hours a day to see that they are properly provided for in every detail. Above all, he is very jealous of his name and high reputation as the Good Shepherd. He is the owner who delights in his flock. For him, there is no greater reward, no deeper satisfaction than that of seeing his sheep contented, well-fed, safe, and flourishing under his care. This is indeed his very life. He gives all he has to it. He literally lays down himself for those who are his. He will go to no end of trouble and labor to supply them with the finest grazing, the richest pasture, ample water, feed, and clean, ample winter security, and clean water. He will spare himself no pains to provide shelter from storms, protection from ruthless enemies, and the diseases and parasites to which sheep are so susceptible. No wonder Jesus said, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And again, I am come that ye might have life and that ye might have it more abundantly. Lord, thank you for the truth that we read in your word. You are the Good Shepherd. And Lord, you can only act as the Good Shepherd in our lives as we allow you to. Lord, I pray if there's someone here this morning or maybe even watching via live stream that doesn't know for sure their sins are forgiven, they're on their way to heaven, that has not accepted you as the Good Shepherd. Lord, I pray that you would help them to see their need and trust you today. Lord, I pray for those of us that know you as Savior. Lord, I pray that you would help us to allow you as the Good Shepherd to take care of us, to meet the needs in our life, to satisfy the longing in our heart, and Lord, to help us to experience that abundant, more abundant life only found in you. Our heads are bowed, our eyes